This is the top video game podcast from HorribleNight.com for Wednesday, December 10th, 2014. Trying to remember how to podcast, I'm Justin Lacey.
Get it together, guys.
Yelling at me just to start things off is Jordan Wilson.
Hello.
he sounds all nice all of a sudden. Don't buy it. Aaron McNeil's here.
Hello.
Hello.
Go the other direction.
Very manly way of saying hello.
The manly low. Way. Yeah, very low, deep and gravelly.
How the hell have you guys been? It's been a bit. What the hell have you been doing?
So disturbing.
Chilling, relaxing, seeing movies.
Oh,
playing a ton of video games. That's what
playing
I've been
games.
Doing.
What? This is a gaming podcast?
Have you?
I've gone through three, I think.
I've been locked away on Origin, so I don't actually know what people are playing.
I had to boot up Origin through... No, you. I had to boot up Uplay through Steam, so I could play some Far Cry 3.
Uplay through Origin through Steam.
Yep.
That was an unwelcome surprise, because it took
Origin,
12 hours.
Does Origin... Origin sells Ubisoft games, right? So, technically...
Yeah, I think so. You could. And then make a shortcut on Steam.
Yes. So you had the launch all three. I was trying to think of that. How you could do that.
Somehow get Battle.net in there. And
you would never be able to play anything because of the updates. Steam would need to update, and then Uplay.
Just go offline.
Origin would need to update, and then there's Far Cry updates that you'd have to download.
Get off the grid.
Oh my gosh.
Jordan, what have you been doing while you've been waiting on updates?
I have been watching. I've picked another old TV show. This one is from the 90s called Twin Peaks.
Okay.
Are you familiar with it? So this is my Netflix background TV show that I've been watching while I work. It's actually a surprisingly good TV show.
It was the shit, apparently.
It's actually held up really well. I've thought about watching the X-Files again,
mm-hmm.
but several of my coworkers told me that show does not hold up, which...
X-Files holds up fine.
Yeah, really? I don't believe them when they said that, so, but I have still put it on.
Oh, I believe.
Because there's like...
Yeah, I want to believe.
I want to believe that X-Files holds up after all these years.
The special effects don't hold up, but the story and stuff that...
That's to be...
I mean, I would let the special effects have a pass for sure. So, but no, I've been watching Twin Peaks, which I'm not really familiar with the show at all. I remember a couple years ago...
Did you play Alan Wake?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
That's funny. So that's... Yeah, I'd forgotten that's actually probably...
Inspired.
Why?
Because
I remember on a video game website them showing like the like someone had redone the intro to Twin Peaks in like pixel art or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then because the intro makes the show look like, oh, like this is going to be the most boring TV show ever. Because the intro is like 4 or 5 minutes long.
Yep.
It's just real somber, nice, light music. And you're just, and it'll be like a 30 seconds of a waterfall, then like 15 seconds of like, a timber being cut.
Welcome to the Northeast.
And then back to a waterfall.
Yeah, and then just pine trees for 20 seconds. But no, it's.
But I think that was just like the style of the TV shows at the time. They had the mm-hmm. the longer intros.
Yeah.
And but yeah, I tried to
you
watch
remember
it.
The way the Hulk ended, that real. Delicate, like piano music.
Him just walking
down the street. Wasn't it every episode? Isn't that how they ended?
Yeah, he just rolls away.
It was good. It was no G.I. Joe, that thing. I could just watch that intro. It was action packed.
How many waterfalls in the G.I. Joe intro?
A lot, actually.
They all had American flags.
It's usually where Cobra had their base.
So much lumber.
So many cut logs.
Back to Twin Peaks.
Hey, how many episodes in are you?
I'm almost done with it. There are two seasons.
Right.
The first season's 8 episodes. The second season's like 22 episodes. So after the first season, they obviously got a buttload of money.
Well, they also had a bunch of people.
That's how it works.
They also had a bunch of people pissed at them because they didn't actually reveal anything at the end of the first season. That was the big controversy.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well. I mean, they set up a lot of really complex stuff. That's true. I was worried that they actually wouldn't, because one of my coworkers had said, when I said something to them, they were like, they said something weird about the ending.
Yeah.
So, but no, they've resolved like two or three things already. So I'm fine with season two ending and one, like this one last thing not being resolved. But no, the show is, mm-hmm. it's funny.
it's hilarious.
That word I would.
No, I'm sorry. There's a word.
Quirky.
I'm gonna have to bring up the Wikipedia article. There was a word that.
There's an official agreed upon word to describe Twin Peaks.
Lumber.
Yeah.
Lumber. Yeah. They drink a lot of coffee.
No, quirky. Have you guys ever watched any Christopher Guest movies like Best in Show or Waiting for Guffman?
I love Best in Show.
Yeah, those movies are hilarious, and it's not like a slapstick kind
surreal?
Of comedy. The key.
Are you going
surreal? Up? That's the word. Surreal. Thank you. So yeah, Twin Peaks is.
What do I win?
Super,
do I win lumber?
Surreal. You win the opportunity to watch Twin Peaks.
I've tried like three times. Hasn't taken yet.
How far have you gotten into it?
About 4 minutes. Get to the intro.
Couldn't get past the intro.
So,
I got two episodes in at one point.
So the show starts, and again, I'm going into this not really knowing anything about it other than like this really weird. I've watched like a YouTube collection of there's a dream sequence with they're in a red room. There's a midget. Everyone's talking backwards, and it's
been there.
That's all. Everyone's had that drink,
right?
With the midget dancing and the girl talking backwards. Red room.
Never been that drunk.
But the show starts with this high school girl's body being found, like washed up on this lake, and then it cuts to the sheriff's office. The receptionist, she picks up the phone. She goes, "Oh, you're the sheriff's here. I'll put him on. Sheriff, there's a call for you." He's standing behind her. And she goes, "Sheriff, I'm forwarding the call into the conference room. It's the red room. It's the red room over there. I'm doing it by the phone. The phone by the blue chair. It's in the red room by the blue phone. I'm forwarding the call now, Sheriff. Sheriff, I forwarded the call." And then the camera moves, and he's just standing in the other room, standing next to that phone. And then the phone rings, and he picks it up, and then it cuts to the guy that found the body. "Oh, my God!" He's screaming, "She's dead! She's dead!" And then it cuts back to the sheriff, and he goes, "Where?"
"Where are you?"
Instead of asking, like, you know, who's dead? Who is it? Oh. He just asks, "Where?" And so it's so awkward, and like, it seems like everyone is acting really bad. Like everyone is acting really badly to a script that is written really badly. But then after a while, it kind of keeps going on that way, and you start to realize like
you get into it.
The receptionist just over explains everything that she's doing while she's doing something. She's letting everyone know what it is that she's doing, what it is that she's getting ready to do while she's doing that and preparing. And then everyone patiently just stands there and wait while she goes through the entire spiel.
So no one does anything while she's explaining what she's doing.
Nobody,
let her get through it. Don't distract her.
There's only been one character so far. It was another FBI agent that was in like later in the season, whose character was a complete asshole. And he's the only character that's reacted to her doing that. Everyone else politely just stands there and waits for her to get finished with her dialogue. But the show's actually pretty funny. So speaking of the X-Files, I want you guys
Twin Peaks.
Do a quick Google search for David Duchovny, Twin Peaks, because he's in the show.
Is he?
Do a Google image search. He's in the, he shows up. In the last half.
Is this gonna
of the,
be a? Is this gonna
season.
Be a Photoshop?
No. Are you guys doing it?
Oh my. Okay. Yeah.
So David Duchovny plays Denise, the cross-dressing DEA agent.
Did not see that coming.
I didn't either. So I was watching the show last night, and it's like special guest David Duchovny, and I was like, no way, because the Agent Cooper in the show kind of reminds me of Mulder from X-Files. Just the way that he acts and the way, like, the open-minded FBI agent that's, like, keyed into, like, the spiritual realm. And then I was like, oh, that's really cool. David Duchovny's in the show. Oh, my God. And then he appears into the scene. He's the tallest person on the show. he has the biggest nose on the show. God, yeah, and he's just got this huge, long, flowing brown feathered.
It's really nice hair.
Yeah.
It's nice hair.
David Duchovny is a beautiful man. Makes
man
a very, very lovely lady.
Does he try to talk like a woman?
No.
Oh, he's just talking.
No, but he moves and walks like a woman, and he, like, anytime he's talking to a guy, he'll like, oh, and brush him, and, you know, like kind of like brush his hand up against their hand. And then, like, they're trying to get a witness ready, and so he's sitting on the bed, and he keeps, like, rubbing the guy's shoulder while he's
going
trying to explain to him. Well, oh, man.
So, wait, did you ask your coworkers if that was the reason they wanted you to watch Twin Peaks before X-Files?
No.
I feel like this...
I don't think they made the connection, no.
I was always thinking, like, I mean, Twin Peaks and X-Files are usually mentioned in the same breath, but I didn't...
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
I didn't.
Totally.
I didn't know that there was that link, that distinct link between
them. He's in the show. And he's Denise.
Denise.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, he was... His thing was he was on a sting operation, and so he had to dress like a woman, He never realized how uncomfortable he was until he dressed up as a woman.
Put the bra on, couldn't take it off.
How comfortable he felt, you know, in high heels and a dress. And so he said, "Took my partner a while to get used to it."
that is. Did not know that about Twin Peaks. I'll just say that.
That's awesome. It's called Twin Peaks.
Yeah, it's a great show. I recommend it.
It's a lot of build up because I have a feeling that character comes in late in the show.
He comes real late in the show. And then the guy, the creator of the show, David Lynch, is in the show too. He's the director of the FBI who's hard of hearing. He's a pretty funny character too.
Interesting.
Because he can't hear anybody, and so you have to, you know, everyone has to shout their lines at him, but he can never hear anybody. So he'll walk into a room and they'll be like, you know, they found the victim at, you know, or we're heading to the chief's office. And then he'll go, "I think we should go to the chief's office."
You did say it was a funny show.
I think it's
funnier than Columbo.
Columbo's pretty funny.
Columbo is pretty funny. Yeah, they're up there. They're both. They're pretty equally as funny. But this one's also dark and real dark and real serious all at the same time. So I'm real thankful for the humor because I probably wouldn't.
I just could never tell. I've watched two episodes. I couldn't tell if the humor was intentional some of the time.
Yes.
So maybe
and that's what I mean. I'm watching that intro because I'm going to watch the show anyway because it's just on in the background while I work. But yeah, I stopped what I was doing and just started watching it because it just felt like – All the people felt awkward. The lines they were delivering seemed awkward. But after you watch it, you realize no, everyone is this specifically written quirky character. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, like 30 main characters on the show. So once you start seeing all these really weird quirky characters start interacting with each other, it's a completely enjoyable experience.
Yeah, so. I didn't dislike it. It just. I wanted to kind of watch it in like a marathon, and it just never hasn't happened.
Although I gotta say, my watching it's disconnected from like the way you would probably watch it because I'm not just sitting down to watch
right.
it.
Right.
I'm sitting down and working. It's on in the back.
And you'll look up about every 10 minutes, and yeah.
Yeah.
And see,
I mean, there have been a couple instances where because you know I mean there's a murder investigation going on. There's a lot of like drug and prostitution in the town. So there will be moments where it's like, you know, oh crap, this main character's been taken hostage. I think I'm going to watch the next episode. I'm going to put my stuff away and watch the next episode because I want to see what happens. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I just sat down. It was just like, this is going to be my evening TV show if I would have stuck with it. Because it's weird.
Yeah.
It's so weird. Surreal. Yeah. It's super surreal.
That's cool.
You sold me on it.
Yeah.
Aaron, what have you been up to, man?
I'm still doing the board game stuff, and that's going well. We had a prototyping recently, and we got some good feedback on our game. I think I said it last time, it was about assassins killing each other, so we're still making some headway on that. But I want to talk about, my wife and I have watched the Hunger Games movies. We've seen the two prior ones that came out. We saw Mockingjay Part 1 recently. And
fantastic name.
Fantastic name, Mockingjay. Mockingjay. So,
all of them are named so terribly. Like I don't even.
Yeah. How dare you?
But I like them. I like them. So how was? I have not seen this one. How was the part one of the finale?
The problem with part one of the finale.
He's in finale.
Yes, the problem with part ones is that they are leading up to what should be
the climax.
More satisfying. Yeah, the climax, the part two. Yeah. And so you go into a movie knowing full well you're not going to get the total resolution that you're going to be expected to go see the following year or whenever part two comes out. And so you kind of just have to like go with it. My wife read all the books. I've only read the first one. So she knows what's happening.
Right. But as someone who didn't read the books,
yeah.
Would you have noticed had they not made a big deal about it being part one?
The way the movie ends, I would have noticed, okay, definitely. Right. But yeah, so, I mean, you sit there for about 2 hours in the movie. I talked to her about this. Hunger Games, the first movie, could have come and gone and been the only movie.
Yeah.
And I think everyone would have been fine with that.
Yeah.
Catching Fire comes, you watch that movie, it's setting up for big things. Mm-hmm. That movie ends with like a close-up of Jennifer Lawrence as Katniss making the weirdest faces before it cuts to like the Mockingjay symbol and then like credits roll. And I'm like the only one in the theater. We saw it late at night. There were some other people there, my wife and I and some friends. That scene happens. I think I'm the only one trying my hardest not to break into laughter. she's like in shock and then in anger. And but it seems so funny. Like so fast it happens. Like, I'm in shock, but then she's like,
she's shangry. Ugh.
Yeah, she's just suddenly so angry, and then it just credits.
Did everyone there who'd read the book like, yeah, no, like, she's making that face because of what's happened. What she looked. Yeah.
Yeah, she made the face, and I'm
okay,
like,
as someone
that's
who
hilarious.
Has no idea what you're talking about. What are you talking about? Is this the second movie in a trilogy?
So Mockingjay Part 1 is the third movie.
So this is okay.
But there are three
there's
books.
There's been three books.
There's
the Hunger Games. There was the Fire one.
Catching Fire.
Then there was
Mockingjay
one.
Part 1, and then we get Mockingjay Part 2.
Because Harry Potter screwed up everything.
Yeah. And because when you get to the end, you gotta have Part 1 and Part 2. Apparently, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
But Part
that's
1.
That's not how Star Wars did it.
Yes. Yes, that's not how Star
Wars. They wrote the book. I mean, that.
Wait.
Yeah, that's the template everybody should be using. They need to go back. They need to do a.
Just make episodes.
Where Katniss growing up, they need to do prequels. Do another three movies.
Yeah, they need to show earlier Hunger Games. So we get a full understanding of what's happening.
So nothing was resolved at the end of this movie.
So something kind of was resolved, but it was so in the background from what the main issue was that it seemed like a kind of, I guess we're leaving the theater now kind of point to have a movie end.
Yeah. See, this is
intermission.
This is where I would just wait till next year, and then I would watch Act 1, and then I would go see Act 2.
I told my wife, as soon as Part 1 came out, a guy I follow on Twitter said, I will not be seeing Part 1 in the theaters, but don't get that like wrong. I am excited to see Part 1 and Part 2 together.
Yep.
And after seeing Part 1, I can't tell anyone, unless you're like a huge fan of these movies or the stars in them, I don't think Part 1 was worth my personal time, but you know, as a date night thing, I'm not going to complain. It was fun. We watched it. We talked about it a little bit, but if I was by myself, I would have walked out of the theater. Like, I could have seen a different movie and had a better experience than knowing I got to come back for Part 2 now.
Before what it was a good...
It was entertaining for what it was. Right. The problem with the Hunger Games...
What is it?
Okay, I can explain that. I'm trying to like avoid spoilers, but... So the Hunger Games themselves is like the main attraction, you know. Yeah. Young people come together, thrown into an arena, and have to kill each other. You know, last one out is the winner. And Katniss is special because she cheats the system, and so two of them come out, and then it just kind of continues from there, and it's all about this personal vendetta between the capital, all the rich hoity-toity people who love to watch the games, versus all the smaller district, your everyday worker civilians, the blue-collar people.
That, the need wants.
Yeah.
The undesirables.
The undesirables.
Filthy
the filthy beggars. And it turns into this huge rebellion. And so the second movie pretty much starts that, the fire, they like to call it, of the districts wanting to fight the capital. And it turns into this
don't
huge...
laugh, Justin. It's the fire.
It's the fire.
It's the lower class rising up like Phoenix.
No. Like a Mockingjay.
Like the Mockingjay. The
that's
flaming,
on fire.
Like a Mockingjay rising from the ashes.
I never really realized that. I never realized that they like had the Phoenix metaphor is right there for the taking.
It's literally, well, when Catching Fire ends, it's the Mockingjay symbol, and then a fire shows up behind it. They beat you over the head with, this is a rebellion, we're rising up, you know, fuck the system kind of stuff.
Is the bird symbol actually in the stories?
Yeah.
Was that just...
Yes, the like bird symbol, it becomes real, and like Mockingjay is a point where the capital's like, anyone wearing the bird symbol...
Well, but it's also
treasonous.
It's also like sentimental to the main character at first,
because she's a bird.
Yes,
she's technically the entire movie part two really ends with her being a bird having a weird dream, a bird from Twin Peaks. That just really
it's actually
a person.
It's actually a cartoon, and this is all a prequel to Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers.
Oh my God! I hope it leads up to that.
Oh man, now I have to see Act One.
Katniss is actually Gadget.
I gotta get ready for
Katniss
that.
Is Gadget. Woody Harrelson is Monterey Jack. Josh Hutcherson is Zipper.
Zipper, that's it. Yeah. Little fly.
That game is awesome. Small. For the record. For the record, those Disney Capcom games and Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers in particular was a fantastic video game.
I love that game. Fantastic. That game is hard as hell.
Yep.
Two players though, love that game.
Chip and Dale.
Chip and Dale.
So I'm not sure if we resolved
Rescue Rangers part.
Well, exactly. I think we actually resolved it as much as part one resolved it. So
can be. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll continue.
So we'll leave off there.
Yeah.
Check us out next year.
Next year I'll talk about part two. It'll be a lot more exciting than part one. Catch this on DVD or VHS. If you're still using that thing.
I finished my trilogy of next gen consoles this weekend.
Oh boy. So X-Bone.
Bought an Xbox One. They finally got a deal that I wanted.
Does that mean you're not using your Wii U?
Oh, I'm playing the Wii U more than anything.
So am I.
Especially because it took me 4 days to log into my Xbox One, and while I was waiting, I was playing Smash Brothers. So,
oh yeah.
So, I've been basically
Were you trying to come up with a good Xbox name? What did it take?
I'll let me get there first. So I bought the PlayStation 4 last year. I knew I would get the Xbox One sometime this year, but I was kind of just waiting for it.
On sale.
Well, I mean, so they dropped its price $50 about a month ago, like going into the holiday season, and I was kind of tempted then. And they also got rid of the Kinect this summer, and I don't really need the Kinect, so that made it a little bit more tempting. Sunset Overdrive and Master Chief Collection were kind of the two clincher games for me that I wanted to get in and play. So I really wanted to get the Sunset Overdrive bundle, which was I didn't really want the white Xbox One, but it came with, that happened to be that bundle, but they sold out of the Sunset Overdrive bundle. And the only other bundles they had
real fast
were games that I didn't want to play, Assassin's Creed Unity and Call of Duty. And so it was kind of frustrating because I wanted to get a game with it.
Says something when, like, these two giant, like, yearly franchises, you're like, I want that new quirky
game.
That's the one I want.
But
I kind of want that game. I kind of want to play that game too.
I want to play that game.
That game looks like a lot of fun.
But I've been looking at this, like, it's $350 with a game, and I was trying to find that value.
Yeah.
Leave it to Walmart to at some point over the Black Friday Monday sales, they dropped the price to $325, so they've dropped it $75, and Walmart started offering the Xbox One with the Master Chief Collection. It gives you a download code with it, so I snatched that up. Then it finally shipped, and then it took me 4 days to log in because after three chats with Xbox support, which I will say I really like Xbox support. Like they at least make you feel like they're trying to answer your problem quickly. And there was issues Xbox Live being hacked during this time while I'm trying to log in. So there are multiple reasons why I couldn't log in, but it ended up
And the hack is coming from your IP address.
Right. Yeah.
Was it the squad?
I made the mistake
of lizards
bringing down the network that I was trying to log into. It was really frustrating. Mm-hmm. No, turns out my email address is too short. My email address that I've used for Xbox Live for the past 6 years.
Yeah.
When you try to log in with it on the Xbox One, it doesn't recognize it.
Wow.
So after I changed my account's email address, it worked fine. So, yeah.
That's funny. Like, as someone who builds apps and has to, like, okay, well, I got to create a form for someone to fill out. Like, I've run into that problem before where it's like, you know, well, what do you want your username to be? And then I sit there and just come up with this arbitrary rule. Like, I think it needs to be more than 6 characters long.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't. It could be 1 character.
But the funny part is an
email address. Like,
yeah.
It just has to have an ampersand and a period.
Yeah, so,
that's it. So at least one letter to the left of the ampersand and one letter to the right of it.
I think that was the kicker. It was only one letter to the left of the ampersand. I think that was the kicker. But at the same time, I can log into their website, all the Microsoft websites with this account, and my Xbox 360 and all my my iPad, the iPad app, what is that called?
Smart glass. Yeah.
Yeah, so I can log into everything but my Xbox One. But it was totally like,
wow.
You think of all the authentication they've built, and they just didn't have the same parameters for that one step.
And how much Windows has done a push to make all that stuff the same experience. Yeah. So you assume it's maybe built off the same platform. I mean, they're at least connecting to servers or systems.
That
is crazy.
I was enjoying it when I got to the third attempt. Like, basically, day one, we're like, well, the servers are down anyway, we can't test it, so come back. And then I came back when I thought it was fixed, but the servers weren't really fixed. So the third chat, it was just like, I had been around the block with these guys before, but just like seeing this new support person kind of just go through the motions. And I was like, yes, and then this is the part where you're baffled and this makes no sense.
Yeah.
And then I finally threw that out. I was like, the only thing I can think of is for some reason my email address is too short. And he's like, kind of thinking the same thing. Let me show you how to change that. And then it worked the first time. And it was just like, well, that was weird. Thanks for your time.
I did the support dance earlier with my iPhone 6. And when you talk to people enough about the same thing over and over again, it's a different person.
Yep.
They're like, oh, I think you should try this. And I'm like, hey, I talked to the person yesterday. We did this already. Let's not do that.
Yeah, I've been a support person like that before. So I for some reason have infinite patience with that stuff. So, but I couldn't believe that was the issue. But I will say, in their defense, like, Xbox support's always they're always super responsive. And I went through 2 Xbox 360s that crashed and got those, you know, sorted out and returned, and things were working fine. Today, though, Tuesday, when the Destiny expansion came out.
Oh, that's out.
Which I pre-ordered, you know, a deluxe edition or whatever that came with the expansions a while this summer. But I'd got no sort of notification of how I can get the expansion. And there's no one to contact on Sony or Bungie's side for that shit. Like, I had to do deep forums searches to figure out how my PlayStation store account works, and then like refresh some licenses to get it to pull up the right thing, because I almost had to buy the expansion separately. And I was like, I'm not spending any more money on this. That side of the equation, Xbox's support is still way, way ahead of where Sony's at with that stuff. So,
we already know Destiny is very light on story, so they must not care about writing instructions either.
Well done, well done. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
No writers.
No writing whatsoever.
Whatsoever.
Oh, I'm still gonna play it.
I want to hear how that is.
Yeah, I like the patch stuff. Never mind. Well, we'll get into that when we get into that. Who wants to kick us off? Aaron, let's. What have you been playing, man?
I've been playing technically a lot. I mean, I'm glad you talked about Smash, because I got Smash and that was a lot of fun. Smash is silly. It's eight player Smash. That's goofy. But I want to talk about, because so I don't know if we're going to talk about this later, but yeah, those amiibos, man. I want that villager amiibo.
You can't get him. He's sold out.
He's sold out. I would have bought him day one. But, so last year, Far Cry, or was it last year? Like 2 years ago, I think it was 2012, Far Cry 3 came out, like way too late for us to even talk about, but it was like a game we really enjoyed. And so...
We lost Jordan. Let's see if he comes back. He's back. I think he's back.
There's two of them.
I'm having some internet trouble.
You're fine.
I thought so, because you weren't talking a whole lot.
What you missed is, to catch you up.
Jordan's characteristically quiet. He must have disconnected.
The villager disconnected him. No. To catch you up, Jordan, Far Cry 3 came out 2 years ago.
Yeah. You're playing it, too, I think.
Wait, what's the Far Cry everyone's talking about?
We're talking about Far Cry 4.
There's a new Far Cry?
There's a new Far Cry.
You're kidding me.
Aaron, tell us about it.
I'll tell you about it. So Far Cry 4 is out in time for us to consider for Game of the Year.
Yeah, they squeezed it in there.
But I guess the issue now is it's really just like a slightly improved Far Cry 3 that we've already experienced, but that doesn't make it any less fun to me.
From what I've heard and watched of other people playing, I feel like playing Far Cry 3, I can speak to it, Far Cry 4, as Game of the Year.
Right.
While playing the last one. So it addresses my major issue with Far Cry 3, and it's kind of a personal one. You might agree, Justin. Far Cry 3 takes place on an island. An island is surrounded by water. The water is full of fucking sharks.
Yes, it is.
And I don't like that at all.
I know we both have an abnormal fear of open water scenarios in video games, not just in real life. But I also kind of loved it for that, too. So
Every time I
fell in that water, I was scrambling. Yeah.
That's how I was. It did add its own bit of character too. That you hit the water, and now there's sharks.
Okay, so you're able to enjoy Far Cry 4 more because you don't have your stress level does not hit 11.
Yeah, my stress level is nowhere near as high as it was with Far Cry 3's like expansive ocean filled with sharks.
How do you feel about birds? Are you afraid of birds?
Birds are the dicks of the sky.
Of the Himalayas.
And so in Karat, eagles apparently hate people with such a vengeance. I don't know what they did. Yeah, what did people do? Was it all the lumber?
They just have a taste for flesh, I think.
Do they ever say why they attack you like that? Do they ever?
I don't speak eagle, but they scream in your face when they attack. So they might be saying exactly what you've done. What have people done to the eagles that make them so vicious? But so do they think it's a game. It's essentially a game that's built around, you know, like a power trip. You get really good. You're shooting at things. People are dying. But there's a stealth element to it that Far Cry 3, I think, handled rather well, that you didn't really have a problem with animals bothering you while you snuck into these outposts to take them over from the pirates, let's say. I don't know what their official terminology was.
The bad guys.
And so in Far Cry 4, you'll go to sneak around an outpost, and at any given moment, a damn eagle comes skyrocketing.
Asshole.
Can't you hear it approaching?
You can hear it approaching, and the NPCs also hear it approaching, and they freak the hell out as well. So
like pterodactyls, yeah.
Yeah, they're like, they just howl like prehistoric beast, and then some guy...
It's a sunny day, suddenly a shadow falls over you and your friend.
Like, oh no, not again!
The eagles!
It's noon time, we lost track of time, the eagles are attacking.
Are you sure you'd take that over sharks? Because the thing with sharks is, you just don't go in the water.
Yeah, that's the thing about sharks, and so I hated the water so much. I guess it's the pro-con trade. I feel like you have more flexibility on land fighting eagles than you do in the water trying to mash the button to punch a shark in the nose.
I like my chances better against an eagle than I do a shark. That's right.
So the eagles just do a little bit of damage to you, but what's really lost is a little bit of your time and a little bit of the
surprise
in your bladder.
the stealth, yeah, the element of surprise.
Well, I guess that was my first reaction, was I was kind of ticked that they are, yeah, they're ruining your they're blowing your cover, man.
Yeah, they truly are, but it's sometimes hilarious just
to
get into a firefight out in the open. There's no stealth whatsoever. You win the fight, and then all of a sudden, Eagle, or sometimes even mid-fight, Eagle just comes up and grabs your arm and screams at you.
You're saying that. There'll be a fight, though, where you're like, there's like four or five guys, and they've surrounded, they're all on top of you, and an Eagle, like four Eagles will swoop down and attack everybody else.
The Eagle's like, it's on now, yeah. And they just dive bomb
everybody.
Just
stand up and start lobbing molotovs.
I like how you keep referring to it as the singular eagle, as it almost makes it sound like it's like a person or a supervillain.
It's got to be. Are they all on the same wavelength?
It's a nemesis system. Far Cry 4. You probably killed an eagle at the beginning of the game. Yeah.
You kill your first eagle.
Well, at the beginning of the game, this guy's driving a car with you, and he crashes it off a cliff, and I think it hits a tree and knocks the tree over. So the eagle's nest was in the tree.
That's we figured it out.
So that explains everything. I never thought of it that way. Huh. And that's why this eagle dies over and over again. Nemesis system comes
You're the bad guy in this. Yeah.
All of your human drama be damned.
That eagle's cause is just.
It's just cause 3.
Whoa. I like that.
I can't believe we just announced it here on Horrible Night.
Oh, it's already been announced. Don't worry.
Oh, okay.
Game Informer's got that cover on lockdown. So I've heard of the Eagles. I've witnessed your rhinos in the highlight clip. And but tell me something else about Far Cry 4 that makes it fun.
Well, you can still do jumpsuits. You can still wingsuit through the sky.
I'm sold.
Funny story about the wingsuit. So Jason, I talked Jason into getting Far Cry 4. Maybe that's the best thing about Far Cry 4.
I can't tell from
Jason play it.
Yeah.
I can't tell from your Twitter exchanges. Does he like or hate the game?
I think it's both. Okay. It's like Saints Row 4. I think he hates it, but he kind of likes it sometimes, maybe. Maybe he hated Saints Row 4 a lot more. But
well, I watched him stream it the other night. He was hating it.
Oh, yeah, he was hating it. His hands.
He's like, this level's broken. This level's unfair. He kept dying over and over again to those hunters.
But when he stopped streaming, he was like, I'm having a lot of fun with it. Like, the last hour, he just... But... one of my favorite moments, I think the entire game is fun, but it's really just like a build-up on Far Cry 3.
Sure.
But I talked Jason into going to the market and buying the wingsuit. And I don't believe he ever played Far Cry 3. I don't know if he's ever watched any footage of it. So he seemed very new to the idea of putting on a suit and being able to fly. And so I'm like, go to the cliff and jump off the cliff. You know, you got the wingsuit. Go try that out. And so he jumps off the cliff. He's using an Xbox controller on his PC. He has no idea what button he's going to need to press to deploy the wingsuit after he jumps. And so
it's suddenly like a quick time event.
It becomes a quick time event, and he's like, which button do I need to press? And he presses the button. Actually, I think he doesn't press the button. The second time he gets it right, but the first time he jumps, I think he might have deployed it too late. On the first time, he hits the ground and dies, and I'm just in hysterics on my side of things. And I'm like, I got him the suit, and I made him jump and kill himself. That's Far Cry 4. Back of the box quote. It's a picture of Jason's dead body.
Getting your friends to jump off cliffs.
Exactly.
As someone who wants to finish Far Cry 3 first, because I never did, and I actually want to play more Blood Dragon, am I right in just waiting for Far Cry 4 until I'm ready for it?
Okay. If you're already in the middle of Far Cry 3 or even looking for Blood Dragon, Far Cry 4 is great, in my opinion, but it's Far Cry. This is apparently Far Cry now. Far Cry is this kind of game. There's no reason to stop what you're doing and pick up a new thing.
Okay.
Just wait.
Cool.
It'll be there. The rhinos and eagles will be waiting for you, Jay.
All right. That eagle's going to be waiting.
The eagle's waiting. You're going to hit that tree and it's on.
Between that and the Witcher Wild Hunt, I'm gonna do a lot of hunting next year, I think.
A lot of flower picking.
any other games there, Aaron?
So I wanted to give a quick shout out to Indie Gamer Chick. Gave me a Steam code for Potato Man Seeks the Truth. Truth. TROOF. Truth. And it was a part of the hashtag Games Matter. and
she just can't stop giving away games, man.
Yeah, and so I'm like, I like getting the game for free, and I was interested in this game, and so I thought I'd try it out. I had no idea what it was supposed to be other than
there's
a man, he's a potato.
Yeah.
So I streamed that. Sold, exactly. I streamed that over the weekend with no clue. I assumed it was going to be a side-scrolling platformer, mm-hmm. and it kind of is, but it's also ridiculously hard. Oh. It only takes maybe like 30 minutes to beat if you're doing okay, but it is... You start the game, there's a title, you can immediately have control of the character, Little Potato Man. It's kind of retro, pixely looking. And he starts out in the desert, and the first thing I do is I try to walk left, because, you know, gamers, you know, developers are always trying to trick you now that there's nothing to the left. So I go to the left, nothing there. And I run right. I'm like, I'm in the desert, I'm just going to walk right by this cactus. No, you walk dead into the cactus and you die. One life lost, and I was like, oh, it wasn't in the background? And the rest of the game was essentially that experience of every time I approach something new, it scared the shit out of me, and I'm like, how is the thing going to kill me? And it escalates so quickly. So you jump over a cactus, jump over another cactus, third cactus actually grows out of the ground as you approach it, so you have to make sure you jump at the right point to clear it. Later cactus explodes into multiple cacti.
And, so it's like you want to be the guy.
Yeah, it's like one of those kind of games.
I don't think it's that mean. I was almost thinking like it's a vengeful Stanley Parable.
Yeah, it's something, maybe it's more like a vengeful Stanley Parable. There's characters that talk about the truth. They know you're seeking it, even though your character never talks.
I mean, you want to be the guy is just fucking mean and random. And they're,
this felt mean. It gets ridiculous. My favorite level, though, I need to mention is... You're in a city, it's full of other little potato men, and all of a sudden car horns are blaring, and these cars with no drivers in them, by the way, are just like sliding towards you, and you go to jump over them, and the car comes from behind you, and the cars will collide in this like horrific sounding noise of metal meeting metal. It just happens over and over again, and there's all these little men freaking out around you. It's hard to tell which one you are until you jump, and I was like, oh my god, like, I was angry up until this point. I'm like, this is perhaps the best game ever. I kind of want to talk to the developers, I think it's a two-man team, and find out where the hell did this game idea come from.
You should hook that up, actually.
I would really love to just ask them.
So, I was thinking about, I saw you were streaming it, I was out, and I kind of want to play this game before I watch your stream now.
And then we can
chat about it some more. But I was excited to see that this actually came to Steam. I think it might have been on Ouya, or maybe it was just a web game. I had seen a little bit of it before.
I could see it as a web game.
One of our devs kind of brought to my attention, but I heard funny things about it, so I'm excited to play it.
It's a unique experience, definitely bizarre. The ending had me speechless.
Right. Did it have you in tears?
I was in tears from all the cursing and dying I did.
He was speechless, but his tears wouldn't shut the fuck up.
Tears for days.
I mentioned earlier that I've been stuck in Origin. Reluctantly. Like I put up a good fight against having to use Origin, but...
on the principle of it.
But, I'm dealing with it.
You know, you kind of mentioned Far Cry 4 coming out at the end of the year and kind of, you know, jostling for position in game of the year conversations.
Yeah.
You know, with Far Cry 4, you know, that's what, a 10-20 hour experience? Like, I mean, it's still, it's open world. There's a lot of stuff to do. It's a lot to chew on there, especially right here at the end of the year. That doesn't hold a candle to Dragon Age Inquisition. And
no, it doesn't. I mean, can admit that.
God, I really, really like Dragon Age Inquisition, and I'm afraid I'm not gonna get to any other games because I'm so into this one right now, and I've heard the horror stories of, you know, 80-90 hour adventures into this game, and
that's why I bought it.
Yeah. It's great though. So I will figure out, like, I still don't feel like, I think I'm probably 16-ish hours in. But I don't feel like I've scratched the surface to the point where I've had enough of the big moments where I can judge it completely yet. So I'm gonna keep going. But really like that game. What just really stood out to me it's the little stuff like this. Part of the reason I love this game is because it's just so much a BioWare RPG, and it's been since Mass Effect 3 since I've played one. So it's just like I was ready for this, and I also haven't really dove heavy into a fantasy RPG in a while. Like really sunk a lot of time into it. Maybe since I messed around with Skyrim last year, but the party experience in a Dragon Age game and combined with all the dialogue stuff from BioWare game, and I really like Dragon Age universe. It feels entirely different than Skyrim, but
same here. Outside of two,
that game doesn't exist. I think they're trying to pave the way so that doesn't have to exist anymore. But the one little touch, and I hope this has an impact for you guys too when I bring it up, that I love about this game is, so you go into an area, and each of the different regions that you enter are huge. It's not an interconnected open world, but the regions you go into are very large and have tons to explore, and they take forever to get around, and so all that kind of goodness. But your map will light up with all kinds of quests, and you discover new things, which adds more icons to it, and so I'm constantly going back and forth between the map and figuring out where I'm going, and you can set a waypoint on the map. And when you set a waypoint on the map, it drops basically a beam of light in that place in the world that you can see off in the horizon. And so, so you follow it on your little compass, your map in the corner, but you can also see it when you're looking at it if things aren't blocking it. When you get to that waypoint and your character can literally touch that beam of light, it'll erase the waypoint from your map. And that little touch is so great. I don't know why, but it's just it just allows me to keep moving forward, and it's like, no, I've got there. I don't want to have to go clear it off or move it around for my next one, but just touch it and it goes away. It's so subtle, but it's so awesome. And it kind of encapsulates a bit of BioWare is kind of back on their game, and this game doesn't do anything incredibly new or super spectacular, but it's just AAA quality all the way through.
Yeah, it does
it's
well.
It's just solid. It's interesting. The characters are cool. The story is not your typical fantasy story. I mean, it's basically, the world of Dragon Ages is Templars versus mages, and can people with magic really be trusted? And where the gray areas in between there? And I'm really liking the game. Some words of advice that helped me out that people have been talking about a lot is the first area, the hinterlands that you can kind of start wandering around in.
Best area of the game. Don't leave.
Just stay there forever.
Stay there or don't ever leave. That's all I've been hearing.
I almost did.
You have to 100% it before you move on. Yeah.
That's you'll be underleveled.
You don't.
Yep, underleveled.
But that's
you won't have the right loot. I'm sorry, what were you going to say, Justin? You weren't going to contradict us, were you? Because that's two. That's me and Aaron.
I play games, man.
Just because you play it that way doesn't make it right.
Man, I am so guilty of 100% I 100% things, especially in games like this, so the story won't move until I'm ready for the story to move. Because I always have this fear when you have multiple places that you can go to that I'm accidentally going to wander in a new area and it's going to push the story forward. I was like, no, I'm not ready. And so I
know that feel.
So I wanted to finish the hinterlands, but I heard enough and read enough that said, don't do it. And I feel like I broke away at the right time. And now I'm bouncing between four or five different regions and having a blast because each region kind of stands out on its own. I just got through the mire, which is very swampy, and there's a storm going on and there's undead characters and lightning crashing down at random moments, really close to you, and it's really
sounds dangerous.
It's cool. It's got a lot of atmosphere. So, the one thing I will say, I live streamed this when I first got it and hated my character. So, if you saw me play with my Kanari, she does not exist anymore.
That giant bull woman.
Well, it was
I love that characters actually had dialogue that referred to that fact that you are this giant, gigantic woman because your character was so tall.
It wasn't great. It wasn't so much that I was the Kunari. It was that I didn't want to play a warrior after a while. So I went back to my ranger class. I'm an archer. So an elf archer. How novel, I know. But
that's so funny. So I started the game, I think the night it came out, and I also picked a Kunari. It was a male, and he was an archer, and I played so much with that character, and that was even before the articles dropped that, hey, maybe you should leave the hinterlands. And so I was running around the hinterlands,
and
everyone else and their mom, you know, we're stuck here, got to do all these quests for us.
Mom does really like the hinterlands.
Mom loves the hinterlands, though. They are beautiful.
She's 100%
here. But I also, just the other day, Saturday, I started over again, also switched to an elf, but I went from just being a ranger to the more cloak and dagger rogue.
Okay, yeah.
So I think it's funny that we both went from Kunari to elves.
Well, yeah. I should have
done racist. Racist.
Just racist. These big. They're so big.
I wouldn't have done it. I mean, I usually play humans or elves in fantasy games, and I wouldn't have done it in this one if Dragon Age's elves are different. You know, they're the scum of the earth versus being
second
noble.
Class.
So
undesirables, right, as we've already discussed.
So it was nothing against the Kunari, but
the poop.
Rising from the flames.
Rising from the Phoenix.
the Phoenix.
Oh, imagine Mockingjays just diving from the sky and attacking you.
On fire.
Are they on fire?
Well,
are they rising from the flames to then, yeah.
I think
you're a Kunari just swatting them out.
I think as they dive, they catch fire. That's how that works.
Yeah, they just puff of smoke. That's...
What are we talking about?
Game of the year.
So Twin Peaks.
I don't know.
Look at the notes. Recenter yourself.
Find your inner elf.
We're about halfway down on the notes.
Oh, got there. It. Oh, there I am. I'm Dragon Age Inquisition. Got it. I was actually kind of like, so I played the game a lot last week and last weekend, and but then I had to kind of take the middle of the week off of the game. And that's the one problem with BioWare games is like it always. Whenever I come back, I have to get my bearings again. I gotta get my gear sorted out. Gotta figure out where I'm going, what order of missions I'm going in. And it takes me like 45 minutes to get set back up, and that's intimidating. But once I'm in, I'm good for hours. But if I don't have I can't play this game in short bursts. Is the problem?
No, you can't. No.
But I also, cramped my style. Like I've been playing some mobile games in the meantime, but like I don't want to move on from this game because I've moved on from other games and haven't gone back to them, and I don't want to do that to this game because I really love it. So hopefully I stick with it, but we'll see if I can keep things moving. But also I'm planning on streaming some more of it here pretty soon, but I also don't know, like, story wise spoiler wise like I feel weird kind of coming back in the middle of it, but we'll see how that goes.
I think it's intriguing enough that people should still be able to like hop in and watch you, you know, do your elf ranger thing.
So it's a good game then.
Yeah, I mean it.
Did you ever play the first one?
Yeah, I played about 20 hours of the first one. Didn't get through it, but still really liked it.
Huh. I remember being bored to death by the first one. I remember the.
Did you play it right away?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, my roommate had it. And he was playing it, and then I started playing it because I was just watching him play it so much. And I remember the story being really interesting, but from like I'd rather just be reading this is a book or something like that. I don't remember the gameplay actually being any fun.
It's a little traditional, the first one.
I think this is definitely an entry level kind of fantasy RPG. Like it's not hard to play, especially on normal. Like
you're not button mashing, right? Like a dragon, like a
no. You hold the button.
No, you can hold a button and then press other buttons occasionally.
But I do.
So is it like an MMO? The combat.
Yeah, it feels like that.
I feel like the first Dragon Age was like that, where you've got your little group of guys and you're kind of just like clicking on the enemy and then they just do the attack and
it's
you
like
can switch
it's
attacks.
Like Mass Effect. Honestly, like
Mass Effect was a first person shooter.
No, it was, but it
no, it was a
when you play as an archer, it's very similar to a Mass Effect.
Oh, okay.
But in that you can pause the action at any point and or switch characters at any point to kind of give them a couple commands. And I like that about it. Like
in the first game was that way too. It's
much more streamlined this time.
I was watching you play it, but I don't remember. I think you were just spending way too much time trying to
figure out how
the combat worked.
Yeah, I need to stream some more because I figured it out now.
And you're the most boring Twitch streamer too.
Right.
So that.
No, it was that first stream was rough. It took me. I was definitely overwhelmed too. But I only use the tactical view when things start getting out of control, and then I'll just like kind of pause it, get a couple things tweaked, and then go back into the action. And
because I never paid attention to Mass Effect 3 what the other two people were doing.
I don't have to very much. Like I kind of leave them alone, but I'll make sure they take a health potion if they're taking damage. That's pretty much the extent of what I do with those other characters. I stick to my character and make sure that people are positioned right. I guess that would be it. Like I don't ever affect their abilities. I'll give them potions or I'll move them. Like sometimes I usually play with two warriors. I'm an archer and then I've got a mage, and sometimes the mage will get surrounded by shit and I was like, go move away from everything and then start shooting again. Like, so I'll have to kind of tell them to do that.
How's the branching dialogue? Like this is like Mass Effect was pretty clear. So, is this your Renegade run or your Paragon run? Like all blue or all red? But I feel like that game, because
they've gotten away from that.
Start the game as anything and you can choose your backstory that.
Okay, so I feel like I could be a dick. I could be like, I could not care about people. There's that side of it.
Is that a clear path?
I think, there's always an answer of you can be a jerk. But as far as like
point down,
like I said,
it's not always consistent, I don't think.
No, it's very, very, it's very gray in that with all the Templars versus mages stuff, there's no clear good or bad guy.
Yeah, I do remember that about the Dragon Age universe.
Like, I'm just winging it. I don't really have I know my character's not a jerk, so I'm not doing true renegade but there are people I don't like in my party, and I'm debating on kicking a couple of them out because I'm tired of their shit and I don't use them. So
tired.
Because if it's anything like the first Dragon Age, like the decisions you make are going to affect.
Oh yeah.
Huge, like people in your team won't like that decision, and they will turn on you and they will leave.
I've had the first big moment of that.
Or you'll end up in a three-way. Right. So it's a balancing act, but trying to get that right scenario.
So with BioWare and the romance options, I've run into a problem. I don't really like any of the characters that are in my party. Now you also have advisors.
You mean like?
No, like.
You don't like anybody in your party?
Okay, so here, let me clarify. I really enjoy the story of this game, and I like the
Would you have
story
sex with the story?
Yes.
Do you like the
story?
That might be an option.
But none.
but you have to play your cards right. That's why I'm asking about the dialogue.
But none.
It's up, down. Middle up. Sorry.
Can you romance or rift?
Close that rift.
Close the rift.
Is there a lust demon?
Hidden somewhere. I know
probably.
Yeah, I know there's pride and gluttony. It's sloth.
Like what I was trying to say.
oh, I'm sorry. Were you talking?
So none of the characters that you can actually party up with that actually go roam the world with you, I don't have one that I actually enjoy being around. Like, I'm indifferent to most of them, and a couple of them I hate.
Oh,
so
okay.
there are two.
Is it because they're not elves?
It has nothing to do with that.
Is that why you're playing elf? And when you role play, you role play. Justin's sitting there with his little Spock ears on, and his filthy rags because elves are filthy.
I don't know. It's just weird in that like. I kind of knew what separated all the Mass Effect characters, but all of these characters are just, I don't want to call them generic because they're really well written, but none of them resonate with me at all, except for there are two, so you have the people you could party up with, and then you have advisors that you kind of like work strategies with, and two of the advisors I think are interesting. I like them, but Okay. But I also don't know if they're actually an option. So
it's everyone is an option.
So I might go through a BioWare game and not get laid, is all I'm really trying to say.
A true fantasy RPG.
It's disappointing when you go through a game like that knowing that you can get laid, and then you in the game and like, wait a minute, I never got
laid. I didn't get laid this whole time.
It's weird.
I'm single in life, single in video games. Like, damn.
I
say the wrong stuff. Even in a game where you've only got two options, somehow I always say no. Always pick the wrong.
That's why you got to put a ring on Lydia's finger while you still can.
Lydia and I will never
My brother started playing Skyrim the other day, and he finally got Lydia. I was like, oh, Chris, oh. You're about to walk down a wonderful path. You and Lydia,
yeah,
carry your burden, but you will carry her heart.
Choose the horse over Lydia every time. And it's actually weird. Like, I've kind of accepted my fate. Like, I'm okay with... Like, I'm just like, I'm not really personally invested in any of these characters. We're going to still go do... We're going to go save the world our way. But I don't really care how you
feel.
We're
not going to have a rough tumble in the sack.
Right. But it's like... But
just
I don't,
a firm handshake.
I don't care about them, but I'm also not going to be a jerk to them. So...
I respect you as a professional and a colleague in war.
Exactly.
I respect your feelings, but I have to decline.
Man,
I will not share a bed with you. Good day.
Just made my playthrough sound really boring. All right.
Consummate professional. That's Justin as a gamer.
Jordan, what have you been
That's
playing?
That's me.
What have you been playing?
So... Talk about L.A. Noir real quick.
Noir.
L.A. Noir.
Noir. So I just started playing it the other day, and I gotta be honest with you guys, I don't know how long I'm going to play. If I'm going to finish, it feels like work.
Okay.
It feels like
gotta
a freaking...
Finish.
I don't know
it
if you...
Like a, it feels like a job. I'm a mission starts, and it's like, okay... We got to head downtown, and we got to investigate this crime scene. Hot damn, it's all the way on the other side of town. As I've discovered, you can't just drive. You can't just grab any car and just drive however you want, because the game keeps track of that and is 100% completionist.
You're a good cop, man. Come on.
I can't now. I can't damage any of the cars. I can't just
can't you,
run over pedestrians. I can't.
Can't you make the dude drive?
I think I haven't tried that yet.
Make your partner drive, dumbass.
I haven't tried that yet. I'm only about 2 hours into the game now. And I replayed the first thing like over two or three times because I didn't understand how the game did save states. It's starting to feel a lot like work.
Sure.
I don't know if you knew that
LA Noir is an adventure game.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
I kept waiting for the open world part of it to happen. No, it just happens
You're
to be
cop.
Set. It happens to be
beat.
Set in an open world.
All right, so the way I would, it's an adventure game, right?
Okay.
And you know that modern adventure games are episodic at this point, right?
Yes, I got that.
Treat
Get
each
that now. Yeah.
Just treat each case like an episode, and just kind of like. Okay. Knock it out, knock it out, and then take a break if you want to, or get into the next one. But do a case in each sitting, but don't start, don't ever cut out midway, or you'll hate it.
Because Far Cry 3, sat down 8 hours later. All right, we found everything on the island. time to move to the next island. Okay,
the island's clean.
So and then this, you guys will be disappointed by this. I'm a bit of a cheater. If given the opportunity, I will take the easiest road.
I don't think you should play as a cop.
I don't understand how the truth, doubt, and lie system works. That's why I had to play that intro over three times because, dang it, she just said her husband has one pair of glasses. I have his pair of glasses. She's lying. Well, no, she's telling the truth. So I have a wiki open.
Oh, man.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
You're
not going to make it.
Also, I watch everything with captions on.
Yeah.
You can't play this game with captions
on. No, because you got to watch their face.
Because you have to watch the people
talking.
Yeah, you got
to watch their faces.
They spent
hundreds of millions
of dollars on those faces.
Yeah. it's time to pick, whether they're telling the truth or not, and I realize, oh, I just was reading everything. I need to look up and actually look at the guy's face. Of course, the guy's all shifty and looking around.
Yeah, I mean,
do I doubt him or do I know he's lying? Because I'm pretty sure he's lying.
How hard do you press him?
Do I have the evidence to prove it? Because I'm not really sure what my character's response. So screw that. I'm not. This game's way too old for me to invest that much energy in. So
everyone's
What
would Columbo do?
He would plant evidence. Do you know what entrapment is? He would set up a honeypot.
Rockstar makes a Columbo game.
He would create false evidence. Columbo, he's not a good cop.
Neither
is Jordan.
He closes cases, but if I've learned anything from Columbo, cheat whenever you possibly can. So and the funny thing is, when L.A. Noire came out, a friend of mine was playing the game. I went over to his house, and he was like, hey, check this game out. This game's really awesome. And I'm like, well, how far are you into it? And he's like, nah, I'm pretty far into it, but I'm nowhere near the end, don't worry. I then watched him play the last mission.
Oh, my God.
He then sat there, like, uncomfortably. I looked at him, I said, this is the credits. You literally, I was like, all right, catch me up to speed.
Oh, wait.
What's happened that's led up to everything that I just watched? And so he caught me up to speed.
So
I know
L.A. Noir.
I know how the game's going to end.
L.A. Noir is three discs. If your friend sits down. Oh, was he playing on a computer?
It was on the Xbox.
Okay, so
it was when the game came
out.
So
your friend said he
knew he was real far into it. He didn't realize he was at. He didn't realize. Okay. Here we go. This is the last thing.
You're on disc three.
Because he thought we're just going to do another mission. This is just going to be another job. I'm going to investigate a murder, and I want to show you this game. It was super exciting. I mean, there was a lot going on. I remember that. But there has not been a lot going on. I'm literally going, there's a crime scene. I look at some evidence. Then I got to go talk to the guys.
You got to earn your stripes, man.
We got to drive over because this is a restaurant that she said he was in. And then we got to talk to the bartender. There's a guy in the back.
Wasn't it cool investigating the scene? I really like it.
Take a smoke break.
No. It's kind of boring. Now, while you're driving from place to place, you'll get a call comes in, and that, there's a crime going on. Then we can drive out there and shoot some guys in a bank.
Nah, that's boring.
Even the criminals.
I feel like the funnest things about the game are the random crimes that happen in between all the boring day-to-day police stuff.
True.
So, but I'm still on traffic, so I know the game.
Where the game goes because you saw the ending.
So
you think it's boring and you know how it ends. You're not going to finish this game. Unless you want to spite me, that'd be the only reason.
I think it's a fun game to play with other people. So, I mean, your friend kind of had the right idea in showing it to you, although he didn't know it was the end of the game.
Asshole.
But I sat down with a group of people having played some of the game before, and we were just like hanging out and having drinks. And when you treat that game as, I guess, poorly as you possibly can while trying to show it off to other people, it's like hilarious. There's a body, you probably haven't gotten to this point yet, but there's a dead body.
Oh, no spoilers. You don't want to ruin it for me.
There's a dead body. Well,
somebody dies?
There's a dead woman, and I think she's like naked or something.
A woman? Hello.
I arrive at the crime scene.
Played that game for hours tonight. Yeah.
So I arrive at the crime scene, and I'm like, I'm here, gentlemen. Let's investigate this naked body. And so I'm like...
My hands all over this naked dead body.
And the weirdest thing about it is, I guess maybe back when this game takes place, like what's the 20s, the 40s? I don't remember what time period. It's old timey. So like, your character does not put like gloves on. He doesn't let other people go.
Oh yeah.
He would just bare hand fingerprint all over these dead bodies. He would just pick up her arm and start looking. There's some cuts right here. He's like touching her body all over, standing like dead on top of her, squatting down, just like. Yeah. To his face, you know.
He's like rolling on top of her to get the scent.
He's like rolling across her. Like, I gotta think about who might have killed this woman. Mm-hmm. Like, lies down next to her, puts his head on her shoulder, and he's just
and cries for half an hour.
A little bit.
Yeah,
like, he feels sorry for her.
The way they used to investigate. murder.
But like my friends were cracking up because I guess I would just keep like straddling over, going, what,
yeah,
you know, what happened, mean. And then getting up again and then straddling her again, going like, I just don't know, I can't figure it out.
Because you can walk over the, you can step over the body, yeah, and your character just, like real yeah. gingerly, like, oh, like walk over the character.
There's a body here, God.
And then I had one of the coroner was there, and he was actually saying, like, damn it, Fry Phelps, I don't come and walk all over your desk.
Yeah. But he never stops you, just lets you keep walking. You're like, I'm sorry, I gotta stand on this side. The sun's in my eye.
Yeah. So, yeah, those have been pretty memorable. But, yeah, I don't have anything else to play right now, and I've had it in my library for long enough. If I look at it episodic and just do, like, one job a night, because even like cheating, even though that I've got like, well, is it true, false, doubt, or whatever, that's better than doing what I was doing, which is, nope, I answered wrong, gotta restart the mission.
Yeah, you just gotta let it go.
Yeah. Yeah, you can still get to the, you can still arrest them at the end, right, even if you falsely accuse everyone of lying.
The game still plays out, and I think you'll find, even using a guide, which I kind of wish, now that I remember more of the game, I kind of wish you weren't using a guide at a certain point, because the game kind of, I think, has to play out a certain way.
Yeah.
And so if you weren't looking ahead, you were kind of, I had a point where I was like frustrated. I'm like, how, I can't tell, I can't read these people. And I got to the end of that case, and I was like, oh, well, shit.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too, like the idea of sitting there and like trying to really focus on these people and like read their motions and their eye movement. This is like 2 o'clock in the morning when I'm playing this game.
Oh, that's,
you know, this is like my end of the night. I'm drinking a beer. Just, this is how I'm going to settle down before I go to bed. And suddenly I got work to do. You know, I have paper to, I got reports to write.
Oh, I've been there. I've been there. That's when you... When a game turns into a job.
Yep. That one I was actually going to try and talk about quickly, because I...
Well...
But if we don't have time, we can move.
Yeah, let's move on. So, yeah, we've got our random game generator, and let's see. We'll pitch a couple here and figure out what our best one is. Control-Shift-V. That's how it's done.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's...
That's how you paste in Google Docs.
Oh, there he goes. Yeah.
I'll claim this one.
Online processings are available.
All right, so Aaron's...
I've learned Google Docs.
Aaron is claiming his. Let's see, the ones that did not make the cut. An experimental game where you date snails, but the controls are ridiculously difficult. Okay, so that's not really a dating sim, but it is.
Yeah.
All right.
Experimental controls are...
Like it's hard to actually date the snails?
Well, they're androgynous.
I would think it would just be hard to control a snail.
They're hermaphrodites or something like that.
Can't you tell by their voices?
It would be hard to date one.
You tell the snail to turn right, and it doesn't turn right till like 30 turns from now.
30 minutes later.
Which end is which?
A real-time strategy game where you invade other dimensions until you own everything.
A lot of loot.
Sim game where you manage ants to score karma.
I hate ants.
Those didn't make the cut.
And I hate karma.
Bye, guys.
Jordan, okay. Jordan, make your pitch. What do you got?
A role-playing game where you annoy dreams starting from a small group of settlers.
Oh, well, that has a lot of directions.
just let it sink in.
The
just
one I picked...
The dreams are annoyed.
One I picked is an action game where you shout at detectives in hilarious locations.
That's L.A. Noire.
yeah,
pretty much.
What do you got, Aaron?
It's also Columbo. There's a lot of yelling.
It's definitely Columbo. Yeah. My game is an indie game where you find pointless wars, but doing so loses the game.
Fine. Is it find or fight? It's find.
You find pointless
find
wars.
Pointless
that changes
wars.
The.
Find the war, but then you lose.
But you lose the game.
Yeah.
Okay, I like
game
all.
Over.
I like all three of these. So, does anybody have a favorite?
I want to know more about Jordan's.
Okay, I can kind of picture the settlers thing.
Okay, fine. We'll go with Jordan's.
I want
to
believe.
Because you're going with me, just because you're going with the thing that I randomly picked does not mean you're choosing my side, Justin.
No, I was just...
You don't have to be so begrudging about it.
No, I'll come back around on it, so it's fine. It's not... That actually isn't...
Okay.
That wasn't personally against you. That was, like, my brain was going in... a lot of different directions with the other two, but I'm still fine with this one. So, all right, a role-playing game where you annoy dreams, starting from a group of settlers.
So I envision some Wild West kind of, you know, Oregon Trail.
Okay, Wild West settlers.
You got a wagon train. They're, you know, going across the old West, and you're some type of benevolent spirit wolf Indian thing. Okay. And so as the settlers sleep each night, you're tormenting them. So everything plays out. It's, you know, it's the end of the night. You see the caravan of wagons all, you know, in a circle, and everyone's at the campfire, and everyone, you know, eats their beans, drinks their water, goes off to bed. That's when each level starts at night, is, you know, the little cloud bubbles, then, you know, everyone falls asleep, sees little Z's, and then everyone's dreams start. And so
I'm with you there.
Whether you're invading the dreams and just antagonizing people and giving them these like real horrible restless dreams,
all right, hold on.
Super obnoxious.
Okay, this is the key thing is your action. The thing you do is you annoy the dreams themselves.
Yes. Yeah.
So to me,
is that what that means?
Like, I'm fine with the Wild West setting, and I like
the small group of spirit settlers.
The wolf spirit that dig.
Or an eagle spirit. Those things.
Yeah, those eagles are dicks.
You're a spirit of some sort.
Mockingjay eagle.
On fire.
Yeah.
So I'm also picturing that your life or the tasks that you're doing during the day while these settlers are awake is really boring and frustrating to you. So
it's work.
You're a traffic cop.
You're so investigating.
We'll come back to what you're doing during the day. But so these settlers finally go to sleep, and you have to pick a dream, because there's a group of them. You have to pick a dream to annoy, and the way that you annoy this dream is like you just keep interrupting it. Like every time it tries to take a turn, like you either focus too much on you focus too much on a detail.
So you're like remixing memories.
Yes.
Oh no. You are not doing that. We cannot fuel anything that Jordan and Jeff.
I'm not going to say it.
I'm not saying it either. I was on board until the connection was made.
So you're just picking one settler. And so maybe like you're watching the settlers through the day because you're trying to find out like...
Yeah, what...
Like, there's one guy who goes out and hunts. He's the one collecting food.
Yeah. And you can start to see like what they've done through their day, so you have an idea of which dream... where their dreams might go.
Yeah.
So you see what their dream fuel is.
So are you a malevolent spirit? Are you trying to kill these settlers?
You're trying to annoy their dreams.
Maybe you're an Indian spirit, and these are Western European settlers, and you're trying to drive them.
You can drive them away.
You're trying to drive them away from this country.
But not through nightmares or nice dreams, through annoying dreams.
Yeah, just through annoyance.
So you literally like you find a dream, and the guy saw a chicken. And the chicken just won't stop screaming.
Or he's like, okay, so one of the guys, like, he goes out and he can't find, the guy that goes out and hunts can't find any meat, and so he just brings back berries. So in the dream, there's all this meat. There's this all these big buffalo, and his gun doesn't work, or it keeps shooting the wrong direction.
This is Psychonauts 2.
It's Psychonauts. I prefer that connection.
Yeah, you are going into these people's minds, and
you're
not cleaning it out. You're trying to make the cob
cluttering it up.
But they have that whole setting based on their dream, and you have to like make the dream go crazy.
Yeah, trying to make it worse.
You basically
dreams are already so crazy though. So what is it? Because
I think your job should
be ignoring them.
You have to try to wake them up by making the dream make as little sense as possible. Like, you're not scaring them awake, but it's just like, I don't know.
Like, they get they're just exhausted by...
Right, like, you make
they just wake up exhausted.
You make the dream about time travel to the point where it doesn't make any sense, and they just get frustrated and wake up.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so how's this a role-playing game? I guess it's role-playing in just that, like... The characters play during the day, and then you play during the night. So there's turns. So it's.
I was thinking like your influence over the dreams gets stronger as
you level
the
up.
Nights go on.
Oh right.
Yeah. And the more information you have about those people, you have to figure out what annoys those people.
And you can unlock that some of that during the day, but maybe you pick one person to follow during the day.
Yeah, you can like inhabit other creatures. What if you inhabit other creatures and characters to interact with them during the day?
Okay. Yeah. So have we established whether you're evil?
No, you're
You're not.
I feel like you're protecting
something.
What are you
doing? Why are you annoying the people?
Because you want them to go away. They're settlers, so you don't want them to settle where they are.
So you are evil.
You want to get them away.
So you are evil.
No, you're not evil.
So you're the enemy. You're their enemy.
You're antagonizing them.
Yeah. But yeah.
But it doesn't mean you're evil. Like
I'm European.
Right.
Who has settled in this new land.
So you're the good guys.
Is evil. Yeah, I'm the good guy.
Europeans are the good guys.
I'm just saying you're not
industry.
You're not evil and violent
medicine.
And
bringing industry
no,
and
no, religion. Yeah, because it's not horrifying.
It's annoying.
It's annoying.
Yeah,
you're frustrating these people, and so I'm picturing it like they just can't. The next day, they can't get any work done. They can't make any progress because they're so freaking tired because they were up all night with these. With these freaking annoying dreams.
Like, you made them watch Dumb and Dumber 2 on loop.
The dream is just that the same scene from Dumb and Dumber when they're just the most annoying sound.
Yep. Ah. And you win by driving them away. But what do you think, like, the final boss scenario? Like, how do these settlers finally try to overcome you? Like, do they... They try not to sleep. Do they go Nightmare on Elm Street style?
Yeah, they just try and stay
Bloodshot, stay awake by the fire.
And then you have to materialize in the real realm. Maybe that's when you start possessing animals like the birds. Just possess birds.
Just crickets.
Just lie down onto everybody.
Rattlesnakes.
Mm-hmm.
No, but
eagles pick up rattlesnakes and drop them onto.
You pick up the rattlesnakes. Yeah, and you put them in the boot. Put them in their boots.
You inhabit a bunch of animals that just want to cuddle with them and make them sleepy. That's all you really got to do. You just want to make them sleepy.
Yeah.
Like the rattlesnake. You just want to cuddle with the rattlesnake.
Because I picture the final scenario is you got to get them back to sleep. Like eventually you have to trick these people into sleeping. And that last dream is what really drives them away. I don't think you drive
them. They don't wake up.
If you get annoyed in dreams, you get annoyed in real life.
God. Turn this into like softcore Nightmare on Elm Street meets Psychonauts
in the desert.
In the desert during the Wild West.
Poor group
the
of
Wild cells. West.
Maybe they fight it by taking a bunch of peyote.
Yeah, just consume some peyote.
Yeah, and then they just have crazy weird visions, man. It's not even about dreams anymore.
Their visions are so bizarre. How do you annoy them when they're not even making any sense? And you gotta figure that out.
At the end of the game, though, it zooms out and it's actually
an Indian crying.
It's Wart's dream from Super Mario Brothers 2.
A single tear.
What?
The whole game is Wart's dream.
It's all Wart.
Yeah. There you go.
I think we figured it out. Another game solved.
Can we do that in?
Another $1 billion on the way.
Yeah, right.
Amazing ideas.
Oh, we're running long, but it's been a bit since we talked about what's going on in the industry. So right now all the games are out. And apparently
all the games are out.
No
more games this
year. And apparently it's time to vote on some Game of the Year awards, because the Game Awards were last weekend. Friday.
TGAs.
Well, they solved it for us. Let's just go down the list. This is our Game of the Year.
Right. Let's just solve this right now.
Go down the list.
Or wait a month and a half.
These categories are terrible.
Oh, hold on. Let me set the stage, because I know you're ready to hate, but you don't have the background. I'm going to say two things.
I got my hate hat on. Just bring it. Let's do this.
So, the Game Awards, Jeff Keighley... broke away.
I hate Jeff Keighley.
Best Mountain Dew flavor.
Freaking Keighley.
Best Doritos goes.
Best Dorito.
Freaking hate Doritos.
So Spike TV did the VGAs and the VG.
Was it
VGX? Was it VGX last year? Was that their awful version? Yeah. Anyway,
is that the online version?
So the Video Game Awards have been on Spike TV the last couple of years, and they've been pretty terrible. Just. Lots of reality stars, not very much game stuff, terrible writing. And then so Jeff Keighley tried to make a new show that was on YouTube and Twitch, and tried to take it a little bit more seriously and made it feel a little bit more like, I don't know, E3 meets an award show. Here's the thing. Award shows aren't good in general. Can we agree with that?
They tend to be on the train wrecky side of entertainment. Yes. Right. Yes.
Unless dancing is involved, yes.
Unless there's a musical number.
So I feel like people need to set that expectation going in. This is an award show.
Yeah.
As an award show, I thought it was pretty damn good.
As an award show for video games, it was probably the most respect gotten yet.
I would, yes, easily the best that video games have done, but I'm more likely to watch this than any of the other options out there. So, of other awards, like I fell off the Oscar, Emmy, Grammy train a long time ago. So, I don't even know what MTV is doing anymore. Yeah, so
Grammy train, they still do their music awards and their Spacemans or whatever. So,
it might have been a little self-serious, if anything, and some of the jokes fell flat. But overall, pretty harmless.
So there's no reason to get angry.
Like,
at it
wasn't.
Jordan.
It wasn't offensive.
Just a harmless game, video game awards site.
It was so weird. Innocent. It was weird that they
no reason to send death threats on Twitter. No reason to do that.
They had a lot of trailers and game announcements, and that was cool. And Koji Kondo, the Legend of Zelda composer and other Nintendo games, he was playing piano on stage.
Yeah,
still full of rage, even though you brought in the Zelda the angle. It lessened it a little bit. No, I'm kidding. I didn't know what happened.
Pretty much all their celebrity stuff, they tried to tie it in. Like
it
wasn't as like obviously they paid the celebrity to read off the teleprompter as most award shows are. So I don't know. I thought it was all right. And
it was inoffensive.
It was the only award show where Trey Parker beat Kevin Spacey.
He's like, only video games can Trey Parker beat Kevin Spacey for acting. All right, so let's run down some of the this is in no order at all. This is so weird. Let's just Game of the Year is like in the middle of this list. I don't know how this is working.
A lot of the stuff that I'm looking at just came out.
What do you mean just
Best Remaster just came out? Best Action Game just came out.
South Park came out.
Best Game of the Year just came out. So
Game of the Year did just come out.
Working backwards, their Game of the Year was Dragon Age Inquisition. So let's see what it was up against. Bayonetta 2, that got some love. Nintendo had a lot of love on this show. We thought
tons of love.
Like Reggie Fils-Aimé was there, and
his body was ready.
What they showed off Mario Maker and Zelda. We'll get to Zelda here in a bit. But Game of the Year nominees were Bayonetta 2, Dark Souls 2, Dragon Age Inquisition, Hearthstone. Which we got to figure out. Did that game come out this year or last year? Anyway, and then
is that a game
officially this year? And is it a game?
Is it a game?
I thought the beta released. Like I thought the
if
full
you can
game
play it on your iPad.
Oh, we'll
is
talk
it
about
a
later.
Game?
And then Shadow of Mordor. And then, Dragon Age ended up being their Game of the Year, so that was...
Interesting.
That was interesting.
A game that I've completely written off, one Game of the Year.
The most understated game, of the most understated big award that they just kind of threw in there, Developer of the Year. Like, they didn't do the... They just like, here...
Now, you didn't even know what was happening.
Reggie's on screen here, Nintendo, you're the Developer of the Year. I'm like, what? Apparently they're up against Blizzard... Monolith, who is Shadow of Mordor, Telltale Games, and Ubisoft. Wow, they nominated Ubisoft this year.
Yes.
Hey, wow. Ubisoft makes a lot of great games.
This is not their year.
They make a lot of games.
All right.
Some of them are good.
All you need to know is that Shovel Knight won Best Independent Game and Mario Kart won Best Racing Game. But
Mario Kart.
Link to the rest of them, but I thought it was light years better than previous attempts. So, and very, very watchable. I'll also say that
Tim Schafer tried to make some dick jokes.
Yeah, he did.
Really?
Yeah, he did. He tried to pull some innuendos. I got a little cringy, but I'm like, Tim Schafer, I still like you.
I'm just glad Total Biscuit won Trending Gamer.
Total biscuit.
And that was the only thing that I was invested in.
That's like such a reach for new fans that it cracks me up. Like,
yeah.
But they've they got to find a way, because we're getting old guys. So
get the YouTube, get the junior high kids, get the Minecraft YouTubers invested in it.
You're speaking nonsense.
So the rest of the weekend also saw the PlayStation Experience and. Oh, not that this was part of the PlayStation Experience, but there's a lot of trailers, a lot of game announcements, and one of the big ones of the Game Award was they did an open world demo, can we call it that, of the new Legend of Zelda for Wii U.
Yeah.
They had a round table. They had a sit down.
It was not a round table.
It was a fireside chat.
You can do a round table two people.
While one guy had it on a monitor.
That was so weird. They refused to zoom in on the monitor.
Yeah, it was always, you got to see Miyamoto.
Oh, man. So it was...
they are the stars Anuma? Of the new Zelda
is that,
game.
That his name, the lead Zelda guy, and then Miyamoto. We're chatting about the open world of Legend of Zelda Wii U, and what'd you guys think?
The game looks good, but I think the hurdle that they have to get over now is they've exposed Zelda fans to a whole new way of playing Zelda with a link between worlds, or whatever that game's called.
Yeah.
In what way?
So you could tackle the dungeons
by having
get all the items whenever, and so it's not just a linear go to this dungeon, get an item, go to this what dungeon, a, get an item.
What about that little demo made you think they won't do that? It's an open world.
They didn't talk about it, and I think that's it's really so. It's not denying that it's.
I assumed it will be,
but yeah, you have to make the assumption that they're going to do the same thing, because that's the expectation. I think a lot of Zelda fans are going to have. They've been exposed to this new thing. They're like, oh, we don't have to play all these same.
Then in that case, they're screwed either way, because you have people.
Well,
they're screwed.
Who played the DS and are expecting that?
They're making
play the console Legend of Zelda games like me and didn't play the TS one and aren't expecting that. So,
yeah. Well, no, they're screwed because they're making a Zelda game.
They're making an open world Zelda game. So no, it'll. I think the game will be awesome.
Hey, the very first Zelda game was an open world game.
That's true. That's true.
You can do dungeons in any order.
Most of them have been pretty open world. Every one of them have had a really large Hyrulean field.
It's not so much an open world as an overworld.
Yeah, the overworld.
I don't know. It was just interesting you said that, Aaron, because that hadn't entered my mind at all. Because I honestly thought that A Link Between Worlds was their baby step to try to do new things, and I think they're going to do more new things with this one. I think it was an experiment.
I feel that way, too. I've got faith in this.
So.
Yeah, that's kind of what made Skyward Sword unplayable, though, was them trying new things. Because the premise of being able to swing your arm around and control Link's sword is awesome on paper. When you don't have a very big living room and are sitting on a couch,
Skyward Sword was motion controls, and that was just them trying to...
I still loved it. Still had a great time with Skyward Sword.
And their damn tutorials where they assumed you've never played a Zelda game before, and Link Between Worlds took that out too. So
there was a lot to teach you. No one's ever played a video game like that before.
That was my first game.
There's a lot you had to learn.
Well, I mean, I'm just curious to see how connected the world is and if there's actually interesting stuff to do in the open world rather than... Is it going to be like Ocarina of Time or the kind of hub world where you're just basically running through the field and there's not much going on other than random enemies and then you get to a section?
It can't be that.
Legend of Zelda series has always been good about their side stuff to do. In Twilight Princess... There's insects that you collected. There were two. There's a male and female of every kind of bug.
Yeah.
It was just a side thing. You don't have to. But at some point you realize, like, there's a golden beetle flying around. No, it was actually in Twilight Princess and it was in Skyward Sword too.
Twilight Princess does not exist.
Yeah, I didn't fix that one either.
Thought it was a great game. So they've always been, and then like in the first 64 one, you could catch
Ocarina of Time.
You could catch the boos, the ghosts, the pose.
God, he's an idiot. He's such an idiot.
Jordan, stop.
He hasn't played a Zelda game ever.
So they they've always been real good about having side stuff to do. So
no, I mean,
all they got to do is just come up with tons.
I don't doubt that it will have plenty of collectibles. I'm talking about, like, will there be any action of consequence in the overworld?
Like substance in, yeah, that overworld.
I'd be curious. See if they can do that.
Because, yeah, in their demo, it's pretty much, you know, here's, we're up high, there's a tower in the distance, I'm going to float over to that tower, you know, we can go there. And, I mean, that's not really a foreign concept. But
going to that tower, am I going to get distracted by a random cave that I can go do stuff in? Or, like, is there basically nothing in between me and that point, but I'm just running through the world and slashing random enemies that don't give me anything other than rupees?
Yeah, so I think this is... I'm not sure if Nintendo is real good about this, because the only thing at this point I can do is, like, well, in Far Cry, you know, you've got bases.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So you can do, or, you know, Nemesis you system, you can run around and do this. But, I don't think Nintendo doesn't do that, though.
Right.
Nintendo doesn't just take somebody else's game design and just... Nintendo's making an open world. Have they ever made an open world before?
And not really. And so I'm curious to see what
I'm curious to see what their version of an open world is, because this is what they usually do with the Zelda franchise, which is experiment. Experiment with stuff.
Which is good. So, I mean,
they might.
Yeah, that's fine.
It looks amazing, though.
It's going to involve that stupid other tablet.
The gamepad
that they've got.
Nah.
Yeah.
Nah.
No, it'll,
I like the gamepad.
In some way that you can't play the game without it, that thing will be involved.
It's fine.
Yeah, they did show that off. Like, well, they showed it off as a map.
Know
if he, I don't know if he blew into the mic or if he was doing anything else. But
it'll be some game-breaking thing where, you know, you can't just play with a controller.
It's likely.
I'm excited for it, though. They said it's next year.
I
bet that won't happen, though.
I liked when the one guy started asking the other one about, so how's your Star Fox game coming along?
Star Fox, let's stop talking about them.
Yeah, because he was kind of...
It's coming before Zelda, apparently. So
that's all we need to know.
Do a barrel roll. The other big known franchise, Uncharted 4, what was it called? A Thief's End.
So it's about Nathan Drake's booty.
It's about that butt,
which looks fantastic. Ass of the year for sure.
Ass of the year for next year.
From that, no, from it'll be ass of the year from the Uncharted 4 trailer. 2015.
That's the award category.
Yeah.
I don't even know if you see
the nominee.
I don't even know if you see his brother's ass.
We can just get real specific about the nominees.
So it showed a bunch of gameplay and shown off the graphics for the first time. So I guess, how about that foliage? That was the thing everybody noticed, right?
That foliage.
Boy, but those
about them bushes.
Those rock crevices, man.
Those leap.
Man. I felt like I was there. My fingers hurt just watching the trailer.
So my initial reaction was, oh, I didn't realize I'm actually really excited and ready for more Uncharted. I thought I was burnt out.
Uncharted.
Me too. That's actually, yeah. I didn't even think about that, but I was watching that thing like,
yeah, I'm ready to go. Let's do.
Yeah, I like the way those Uncharted games play.
I mean, I kind of sleepwalked through the end of Uncharted 3 because I had played Uncharted 2 so much before that game came out that I kind of burnt myself out, and it wasn't a shot at the game. It was just like, yeah, I mean.
Yeah,
this is what it is.
Two is better than three.
You got the AK.
Yeah, yep. I agree. But and gameplay wise, like it's just little stuff. Like I said, the stealth when you're in the jungle in the foliage there.
Yeah.
And his grappling hook moves. He took out a number of dudes with like an aerial punch that looked ridiculous but awesome. Yeah.
So I was watching that, and it's obviously like a scripted. You're watching someone go through, you know, all the little like cool new things we've added. I would never play a video game like that. If I have the option to hide and stealth kill people, I will stealth kill everyone. There won't be any me getting into these exciting like firefights and me running at the guy and killing him off a ledge and then sliding down an embankment into another guy and grabbing his gun and shooting two guys off a ledge. No, I'm gonna be down behind the same barrier and let everyone come to me and I kill them. One after
Hello,
another
boy.
Until everyone is dead.
At your peak Uncharted playing skill, do you think you could recreate that 15-minute demo and
oh,
near
no.
the fact? I started to notice that. I'm
I
like,
get, I think the minute I get out from cover, I'm dead.
I mean, like,
you snap your own neck.
Because I don't know. The
minute I start sliding down an embankment, I realize my guns are out of ammo.
I don't know why on this trailer in particular I started really paying attention to, like, there's a dude controlling this, like, in that,
yeah,
in that, like, so the first shot where kind of, you know, it zooms in on Nathan Drake and he says,
"Oh yeah,
where the hell are you?" And he kind of like slowly walks away, slowly, and the camera like turns around.
Yeah, because I'm waiting for the cutscene to end.
But I'm just like picturing, yeah, but yeah. I'm just picturing the dude controlling it, just like, you know, so slowly turning the right stick,
so delicately turning the stick.
Yeah.
And then, like, there's just a couple moments where he almost messes up, and I was like, and you know, how many takes did he have to do to get this trailer?
I'm curious. Reshoot this.
It's like holding his breath while he does it.
Yeah, yeah. Like, because he almost died a couple times, but he's mm-hmm. also got to almost die a couple times, and I don't know. I was really entertained by it for those dumb reasons, and I don't know.
I forgot how the health worked in those games.
Yeah.
You just... It grays out. Don't get shot.
Yeah, just don't get hit too many times.
And if you do, just hang tight.
If the screen goes black and white, just get behind some cover and just give it a second.
Yeah. And I don't know. I really liked kind of watching the AI too, kind of chasing him around because they were jumping between
I hated that. I've been playing so much Far Cry 3. Man, the second I hear gunshots, where's that combat shot where you can see everybody?
I'm constantly
shooting myself up.
Yeah. That's funny.
I want to be able to see where everybody is at all times. And so as soon as combat started, and he was like, "Oh crap, there's guys behind me, there's guys in front of me, oh, there's a guy above me," I was like, Where is everybody? Show me.
Not without my shots.
I need to know where everybody is. Yeah. Nobody's sneaking up on me. I don't think I can play a game like that anymore.
I don't know.
I don't have the situational awareness. Far Cry has broken me.
I don't know if obviously they were trying to show it off, and I don't know how much smarter the characters are than, you know, say The Last of Us or the last Uncharted game. But I was pretty impressed by the ways they were trying to work together to find him.
It was put together really well. It's nice to know you can play the game. You can rush forward in the game. The game has options for you. There's no way I would ever rush towards a guy like that.
Well, then, but it was also, I just kind of realized this too. Like, the thing ends with him. He doesn't kill everybody. He gets away from them. So that was kind of a nice little touch.
The character reacted to it because he's like, "See you later, guys."
Yep.
Yeah, that was another moment where it was like, "Wait, no, there's like three guys right now that are still alive. Just take them out real quick."
That's actually a nice touch because, I mean, we've talked before, and other outlets as well have talked before about how Nathan Drake, for as smooth and charming as he's supposed to be, is really murderer. Kind of a serial killer.
he just
murders people.
Well, he's killing mercenaries. I mean, he's like the zombies of the modern age.
He's killing mercenaries, but he's killed thousands of them.
He's killed so many.
Yeah, like, but mercenaries aren't. Nobody's gonna miss a mercenary. Don't worry about it. It's like all the pirates on that island of Far Cry 3.
Oh, their parents have given up on them. No one cares. Even.
Yeah, so apparently, they don't have any loved ones at home.
So apparently, that's the plot: is they're looking for pirates' treasure, and it was revealed at the end that he's also looking for his older brother, which I only bring up because it's voiced by Troy Baker.
His brother is?
Yes. So Troy Baker is the voice of everything right now, and Nolan North used to be the voice of everything. And now that they're together,
they're brothers.
Oh, it was so good. It was so good.
Huh.
Yeah. I mean, Troy Baker's
That's fantastic.
Troy Baker's wow, in the Tales from the Borderlands. Like, I was just like, this seems unnecessary, but okay, thank you. Yeah. I mean, it's gonna be good, but
Who does the voice of Femme Shepard in Mass Effect?
Jennifer Hale?
She should be there.
Yeah, I think she's been. Hold on. I'm pretty sure Jennifer Hale's been in.
Has she been in Uncharted already?
Maybe not. Uncharted 3. Yep.
Oh well, never mind.
What? Hold on. It might have said. I think it said she was the announcer, so that might not. I don't know if I'd really count that.
Uncharted Bros.
Let's see. Hold on. Never mind. Game. She was just a multiplayer announcer, so.
Oh, okay. Wait, there's still a shot. There's a shot.
Yeah.
They can get her in there.
You guys know who Nathan Fillion is, right?
Yes.
That's all I could think of. Was,
that's Nathan Drake, man.
They just need to make a movie, and he just needs to be.
They're trying to.
He tried to petition for it, didn't
I? Yes.
Yeah, that's all I could think of was, like, every...
Mark Wahlberg.
When they would
said,
be on his face, but you know, like Mark the sighting was on his on Nathan Drake's face again. No, it's just Nate. Just Nate. I watched a couple, caught up on my episodes of Castle. Yeah, yep. It's just Nathan feeling.
Yep, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's Drake.
Because that was the weird thing. Like, so when I bought my PS3, I grabbed Uncharted just because I'd heard so many great things about it. Like, I think Uncharted 2 I bought the PS3 right before Uncharted 2 came out. That was why I was getting it. But I picked up Uncharted 1 in the meantime. Hadn't played it, just heard it was really great.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, I mean, the action in that game is kind of iffy. Like, they're still kind of figuring things out in Uncharted 1.
Yeah.
But it's just, so it's just dominated by Drake's sense of humor. And
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it is straight Nathan Fillion. It was, I made that connection then. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Very quick.
All right. Last one here. Last big trailer. No Man's Sky was everywhere. It was at the Game Awards and at the PlayStation Experience. Two massive trailers, including they were on stage with 65 Days of Static, which was doing apparently the theme song to the game.
I like that group.
Yes.
And
I was going to say band, but I've never actually seen them.
Right. No, it's a couple guy in a computer. It's at least two dudes. I can confirm it's at least two dudes. I was only
okay.
I was trying to watch the game, but like,
yeah, me too.
So all I'll say about No Man's Sky is space dinosaurs.
Space dinosaurs on this color planet with these trees.
Yes. So they showed getting out of your spacecraft. You didn't really do anything. You kind of got out and looked around and then got back in your spacecraft and flew away. But they were just like really trying to show the scope of the game and then like using portals to jump to different planets. And
yeah, like just going between systems.
I don't know how fun this game will be, but the exploration, it just looks, it's so gorgeous. And
so
it's great to look at.
I just watched that trailer and then of course, you know, I moved to the comments section and everyone's like, but what do you do in the game?
What do you do in any of these games?
I've been listening to people talk about Destiny, and most of the people I listen to talk about the game. They don't talk about it.
What do you do in the game?
They don't talk about it with much reverence. They kind of begrudgingly, like, yeah, I'm still playing Destiny.
Yep.
The reason they can't stop playing Destiny is because there's something to do. There's another level to get. There's another piece of armor to unlock or to level up or a gun there's something to do and there's a goal to work towards. And even though you know,
but apparently,
even though you know that it's grinding and boring and not fun, you still do it and you still think about it all day.
So
you still get on the forums to see what other people people are talking about it.
So Mr. Destiny, there's always another planet to discover. It's always the next thing you see, you haven't seen it before. That's what No Man's Sky is supposed to
do. So as long as No Man's Sky gives you some way to level up, like something to do, like Minecraft, you sit there and play Minecraft for hours not doing anything. You're just like, well, I've got 4 diamonds, but I could use 6.
Right. I mean,
so I'm going to continue to mine.
I mean, No Man's Sky is going to have a lot more in common with Minecraft than it is Destiny.
Something in there for you to just do, to work towards.
Yep.
If there's if there's something valuable that you can get but requires,
it's got to be like
time and energy, then people will play that. People will play that game for hours. People will play that game for on YouTube for. Yeah. Everyone will play that on YouTube.
I want to ride the dinosaurs.
Yeah, I just want to see more dinosaurs.
But yeah, some people were talking in the comments section as if they know what you're going to be doing in it.
Nah, no, they don't.
No one knows.
It's just
big. I'm pretty sure I've never read that article where the developers have told you what you're going to be doing in the game. So I think that guy was just spitballing with game design ideas.
Sure. All right, let's get out of here with shout-outs. Jordan, what you got?
What do I have?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Well, my shout-out is an iPhone and Android game about shouting out at your other... my shout-out is Space Team. Space Team.
Space Team?
So Space Team is the simplest game ever, and I hate myself for not making this game because it is...
Nice.
It's so simple and so brilliant all at the same time. So it's free. You just download it, and it's for iPhone and Android. What you do is you get a group of people together. Everyone turns on Space Team, And then depending on whether you're on Bluetooth or Wi-Fi, it'll pick everyone up. So let's say you got four guys. And so now it's like, oh, you're all in a room. So you're all in a little room together, four guys. Everyone clicks the
button. Can girls play?
You're now, can girls play? Well, do girls play video game?
Oh, man.
So, you're the one with a stupid baiting question.
I got what I wanted.
So now you're all teammate. You're all on the bridge of a starship, and so each of you has a different console in front of them, and that console is just a random assortment of buttons, toggle switches, and dials, and each one has a different
levers.
Yeah, and each thing has a. I don't know. I haven't played it that much. I don't know if there's switches. And yeah, each thing's got like a different name on it. So what you do is at the top of it, on your screen, it's telling you increase course Zion to 2. And so you got to tell everyone, increase Zion to 2, increase Zion to 2, because someone has the Zion dial and they need to increase it to 2.
Oh, okay.
If they've increased it to 2, you'll get another thing. And then you're, engage string orb. And then someone's like, it's me. I got to push the string orb button. And so you do this, and this will go on for like, I don't know, like a minute. And then
for years.
You've successfully completed round one, so now it's on to round two. The game gets harder because then, like, it'll do random events. Like, someone will be like, oh, there's an asteroid attack. Everyone shake your phone. So everyone's got to shake their phone. If not, then you're destroyed by asteroids. And then someone else will be like, wormhole. Everyone flip your phone. Now you got to flip your phone upside down.
Wow.
Well, then like, you'll have a dial, and there'll be an icon above it. It'll be a house above some water.
Okay.
And that's it. And so at some point, someone will be like, turn the house, you know, turn the house with the tree above, I think there's water, turn it to 2. Sometimes, though, your symbol, they don't get the symbol. They get the word for what your symbol is.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
So they'll be telling you to, you know, flange the drive, flange the drive.
Flange.
No one's got any drives or flange or anything. Well, the people with icons need to... Yeah.
What's a flange look like?
So we discovered it last week at work, and so far we've got this Space Team Hall of Fame written up on a board. The five people that made it to level 9. Man, it's pretty fun. A lot of shouting at people. And it's funny because every time we'll start the game, someone wants to play captain. And they'll be like, well, guys, I think what we need to do is we need to just one person at a time go around, to which case I say, everyone just yell everything out all at the same time. Roll captain here.
Everyone talk at once.
That's
yeah.
Awesome.
Because this isn't about winning. This is about playing a game together and shouting.
It's about
Flood Seeker in a Z-loop.
So are people playing that, like, would have no interest in Star Trek or... Okay. Oh, awesome.
Yeah, this is everybody at work. Yeah, awesome. This is everybody that I work with has got this on their phone.
That's cool.
So, this game is from 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's been around.
We've just discovered it, yeah. And
that's
it is so much fun. So if you work with a big group of people and you're, I don't know, at the end of a four-hour-long meeting and your brain has stopped working, play a quick round of Space Team.
Good advice.
And, yeah.
A glowing endorsement.
My shout out goes to Telltale. I cannot say their name, especially Telltale Games for Tales from the Borderlands, because I was going to skip this game. Like, it was okay. I am burnt out. Burnt out on Telltale Games. I sat out the pre-sequel. I don't know why you're making an adventure game in Borderlands. I don't care about the story of Borderlands. I'm grumpy. But then reviews start
in. There's no loot in Tales from the Borderlands.
There is no loot.
Point of playing it.
Reviews come in, and it sounds like I need to give a shot. And I loved it. It's the funniest Telltale game that I've played in a long ass time. And I mean, maybe
funnier than the Homestar Runner.
Well, like, they haven't...
Sam and Max.
If you think about, like, the games they're making right now, they're just so damn grim. Like, it was...
A lot of people are dying.
And I was cracking up the whole time. And not cracking up at Borderlands humor. Like, it was well-written jokes. And, like, it feels a little bit different. Borderlands, it still fits in, if that makes sense.
That claptrap. He's funny.
No claptraps. That's another bonus point.
Oh, really? That's disappointing.
And I think in the Game of Thrones game that they just released, you're playing a multiple characters, but this is the first time I've played as multiple characters in one of their games, and you're basically playing as two different con artists, and they do some stuff that some of the way they tell the story, like, you know, you're basically, the game starts off and you've been captured and you're trying to recap what has happened. Like, you're trying to tell this guy how you got in this situation. So a little bit of a flashback scenario, which I liked. And also, yeah, like, they have some little twists on it that, what was that gunslinger game? The Call of Juarez gunslinger? Like, the way they did some of their narrative stuff.
Like,
I got
the embellishment.
I got some hints of that in this game. Oh. And it was also, like, a lot of action. It was very fast paced, and the action was not annoying to play, which is a compliment to Telltale Games. So, because some of their actions are a little bit, but it was just random, kept me guessing, and it flew by. But it was two and a half hours, and I can't wait to play more. I kind of wish after my Wolf Among Us experience that I had waited so to play them all at once. But I was too excited to try this out, and glad I did. So, if you've written off Telltale Games, this one might feel a little bit different, so give it a shot.
Telltale.
Aaron, take us home.
I will talk about Horrible Knight's favorite non-game Hearthstone. Just got an expansion this week. Goblins versus Gnomes just came out. Like, over 100 new cards.
Buy them now.
Buy them now.
Do it.
You can buy.
Everyone else has them already.
60 packs for $70. And so it just launched. It had a bit of a rocky start because I guess everyone
was playing.
Wants to play Hearthstone now.
Yeah, BattleNet so, kind of went wonky.
BattleNet took a major hit, and they were having problems. You couldn't buy cards effectively all
or log in
evening. Or sometimes even log in. There were queues just to get onto BattleNet itself. Wow,
God, I want to play a free game.
Yeah, just play this free game. But I did buy 40 packs at lunch today.
Oh my God!
And so I've got.
Wait, say, needs help.
Say that again. You bought 40 packs.
40 I bought packs. 40 packs. That's not even the most you can buy at once. You can buy 60 packs now at once, and I kept it down at 40
wait.
60 packs.
Can I ask you? Yeah. How much of that was accrued money in the game versus fresh cash?
It was all fresh cash. All
right. I mean,
does your wife know about this? Is this a forced decision?
So he's
she doesn't have access to my money.
You don't need to know.
But he's just buying a $40 game, man.
It's essentially just.
Didn't you just buy a $60 game?
Some might say.
I think I'm still at. I'm under $10 spent on Hearthstone. So I
don't. I'm not total.
You are at that next tier, but I understand.
This is the only game where I've spent money. Like, you've spent what, real money on?
Don't make this about Justin.
I was trying to do the math because, like, after I quit Warcraft the first time, I kept my subscription going for a couple years. Yeah. So I was like, I've probably at this point paid for about 40 months of Warcraft and not been actively playing the game.
Well, it's like life insurance, you know?
Right.
Like life.
It's peace. Having a Warcraft
peace of mind.
It's peace of mind. Knowing that at any time, you could come back.
You can come crawling back.
You're not going to lose your character's name.
You bought 40 packs.
Yes, and they give you three for free.
Can you tell me one or two cards that you're excited about that you enjoy using that have made it into a deck? It made it into your rotation.
Don't share strategies. Don't let them in on your secrets.
Share my secrets, but in the three packs they give you for free, so not even in the 40 packs I just bought, this very second pack I opened had a golden legendary in it.
Holy shit.
Wow. Which is the best card you can get in the game, the best kind of card, and it was the new warlock legendary Mal'Ganis,
who gives
plus two attack, plus two health to all demons, and makes your warlock.
Hey, I'm trying to listen. I'm almost done.
And while this card is on the field, your hero is immune to damage.
That's unfair. That's just unfair.
That was the first big card I got.
And you got that from the free pack?
And I got it from a free pack.
And you got nothing close to that when you bought 40.
I bought 40. I got two legendaries. Okay. One of them's Blingtron 3000, I believe, which when you play him, he's like a little robot standing on a pile of gold. That's pretty badass to me. Yeah. Both
that's players, Blingtron.
Yeah, that's Blingtron.
Oh,
yeah.
Blingtron. We know him.
Both characters or both players get a random weapon, just randomized weapon. So even if you're a priest or non-weapon class, playing Blingtron gets you a weapon.
And that's, then, that's what he does.
That's what Blingy does. Blingy gives out weapons.
Classic Blingtron.
And the other legendary I got was called Mimitron's Head, which apparently is a legendary that if you have three mechs, which are a new type of classification of card in Hearthstone, if you have three mechs on the field and you play Mimitron's Head, you summon essentially Voltron.
Yes.
Which is the best thing I've ever read.
So they didn't have any fun making these new cards.
It was dead serious. All this is the Walking Dead and Game of Thrones of the Blizzard library. All right,
so we're still undecided if we're going to count Hearthstone as a 2014 game, but we can at least throw it in with Goblins versus Gnomes. So
we can talk about expansions or something, but yeah.
Coming your way in January.
It's out there. And I'm getting legendaries.
All right, gents, we ran a little bit long. I appreciate you guys hanging in there and everybody listening. Thanks for checking us out. We'll be back again. I think we got another episode in us before the end of the year. No promises.
We have to.
Yeah. So more games to play for sure.
Twin Peaks to watch.
Yeah. I bet he's. Let's put money. He's moved on to X-Files by the time we record next. So that's my guess. We get some more David Duchovny stories.
I don't know. Not after seeing him in a dress, I don't know if I can just see him wearing normal men's clothing.
That's
just
fair.
Just doesn't feel right.
Doesn't feel right. Doesn't look right.
Right.
No, he's too beautiful of a man not to be wearing lipstick.
We need you, Denise.
You need to grow your hair out, Jordan. All right, we're going to go. Thanks, everybody. See ya.
Bye.
Bye. Mm-hmm.